threatens.
Is the singularity near?
The military-industrial complex.
The truth is out there.
The seven mountains of the influencers of culture.
To be as gods, you know, catapults of propaganda.
From a mostly secure, undisclosed, split-level location on a cul-de-sac somewhere in the heartland of America, this is A View from the Bunker. Now, here's Derek Gilbert.
The most powerful weapon, and really the most important weapon that we've been granted by God in the spiritual war, is one that we usually, as Christians, ignore. Welcome to A View from the Bunker. I'm Derek Gilbert. We thank you for listening at VFTB.net or watching on the new YouTube channel, youtube.com/Derek Gilbert. I'm talking about prayer, of course. We Christians, especially we men, you know, we always want to fix the problem with our bare hands or maybe, you know, some power tools. But often the problems that face us have a supernatural origin, a spiritual cause, and you can't fix that with duct tape and super glue. We can't fix it at the ballot box either, which is, or at least not entirely. That's an issue that we discussed recently with Keith Giles. When we deal with the supernatural realm, God has told us to engage through prayer. And the question is, how do we do it for maximum effect? Our guest has written a book on this topic. She is the host of the Weekend Vigilante radio program, weekendvigilante.com, which airs weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern time. She's also the author of The Green Gospel, a book that we discussed on Skywatch TV last year. Her new book, co-authored with Carla Butad, Power Prayers, Warfare That Works. The book's website, powerprayers.ca. We are honored to welcome to the program Sheila Zielinski. Sheila, good to talk with you again.
Thank you, Derek. It's a pleasure to be back on your show.
Power prayers, breaking through the walls. How do we, in the Bible, Jesus gives us an example of how to pray. And that, of course, is what we commonly know in the church as the Lord's Prayer. And we often will use it not as a, let's say, a template, an example of the type of things we're to ask for and how we're to ask, but we use it as a almost in a ritual fashion. We say it by rote. Does that work? How does power prayer, how should we be praying in comparison to how many of us have been taught to pray, which is by memorizing and reciting a certain prayer over and over?
Yeah, by rote. That's a really good question, Derek. Well, first of all, Jesus did say in that, give us our daily bread. We should be praying daily. We're not even promised tomorrow. So, and the power of prayer is astonished. It's just astonishing. The living God is activated in our prayer. And it's not some kind of side note, because there's never been a time in history, Derek, when warfare prayer was so urgently needed. Hmm. And as the end of days fast approach, never before, I don't think we've ever witness such a callous disregard for God and prayer. And it's kind of treated as this, you know, last resort, side note, all of this gross teaching and seducing spirits and false doctrines abound. And I think all the, well, especially the climate, as you know very well, the ubiquitous debauchery and the abhorrent sin really are the order of the day. And the church has kind of become sort of, you know, kumbaya, you know, kind of weak and anemic. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to say that, but it's becoming nothing more than these glorified social clubs with very little power. And that's where that word comes from, power prayers, because as James tells us, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And we have this superior weaponry and equipment and power, like you said, power tools, but our power tools are not carnal. They're mighty for pulling down strongholds. And, you know, it's so amazing, Derek, that it's almost treated as a side note. And again, like I say to people, if you're desiring a more powerful and successful prayer life, I'll tell you why you're not seeing results. A key element of praying powerfully, Derek, is being left out altogether, and we're going to get into that.
Hmm. We see a in the culture around us, the mainstream press and the Twitter sphere, a not just a disregard, but an open disdain for prayer. When a natural disaster strikes, or a terror attack takes place, for example, somebody will say and go public, you know, a public figure will say, you know, our thoughts and our prayers are with the people of, you know, fill in the blank, you know, France for this new terror attack, or, you know, what have you. And immediately secularists, pundits, progressives will take to Twitter and other social media to criticize, to mock the person, to vilify the person who said it. You know, oh yeah, no, that's really going to help. What we need to do is ban guns or whatever. When we see this kind of this kind of attitude, this not just disdain, this openly hostile attitude toward prayer, what should the church's response be? What should our response as Christians be toward the use of prayer in situations, in response to tragic situations like a massive loss of life through a terror attack or natural disaster?
Well, that's such a good question. There's so many angles I could take that. But one of the things is, Derek, we should be coming against violence and destruction in our nation.
Amen.
We should be binding the strong man over terrorist groups and religious violence and breaking their power. We have the power and authority, the same spirit, really, that raised Christ from the dead. We can bind and break the power, the spirit of the prince of the power of the air that works in these children of disobedience. ISIS rampages in a bloody sense across the nation. And yet Christians are in all this fear, Derek. And here's the thing, and this ties into the book, is I have a prayer for the nation. We ought to be, you know, getting up in the morning and doing a warfare prayer. We are in a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. We ought to be praying for our nation. We ought to be covering ourselves with the blood of Jesus daily. And here's the other thing that's amazing. We have angels, and our angels are unemployed. We ought to be calling on the mighty warring angels to stand shoulder to shoulder around our kids, our homes. I was sitting in the mall the other day, Derek, over the holidays, and I thought, good Lord, at any time some kook can come and blow this thing up. So I just started praying. I was on a flight, and this man got on, and instantly, you know, I thought, wow, he looks a lot like a doppelganger of Osama bin Laden. And I thought, you know, what if? And I just started taking authority, and nothing happened, thank goodness. But we ought to be praying these powerful prayers, and that is heartbreaking to me, Derek, because honestly, if someone tried to recruit you in a witch coven, Derek, they would teach you your power, your authority, how to take dominion in a heartbeat. And here's the thing. We recognize dark powers, but why are we not using our authority? Satan just is a counterfeiter. Hmm. But the churches, Derek, are not teaching spiritual warfare. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting against powers and principalities and rulers in dark places. We have power over all the power of the enemy. We have dominion over all the earth. What part of all do we not get?
You know, a gentleman who'd come out of the New Age that I interviewed some years back, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, David Duncan was his name, told me that while he was part of the New Age movement and really the occult movement, he told me a story in which he believes Lucifer, or at least something claiming to be Lucifer, manifested in the body of a fellow who was leading this group that he was a part of. But he said that occultists believe that Christians are practitioners of magic, but a very weak form of magic, and it's a form that most of us don't even recognize as magic. Now, we Christians understand that prayer is not spell casting. We are not summoning angelic entities to do our bidding in the way that occultists try to do. More the fools they. They don't understand what forces they're playing with. But we as Christians, in their view, are completely ignorant of what we're doing. I mean, they see what we're, again, I reject the idea, the comparison to magic. What we're doing is not magic. How does the power of prayer really work? What are we as Christians actually doing when we're calling on God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit?
Wow. Well, we're opening up a can of scripture. I mean, really, because that's just it. What you said is people will recognize the dark powers, the summoning, etc. But we are not being taught in the churches. You don't see churches casting out demons in Jesus' name. You know, they say,
rarely.
The demon said, yeah. Jesus I know, Paul I know, you Christians, I don't know. I think that's really the almost the mantra out there, because as we're crashing headlong into the beginnings of the terrible tides of wickedness sweeping this world, Derek, you see it. You know, you do the study of the headlines. These religious cliches and formulas, it's not going to work when it comes to our enemy, because in the days ahead, we have to lay hold of the power of God. That's going to determine the difference between life and death. And that's the problem here, Derek, is those that are unaware or who want to deny the power of the demonic realm, they're going to be helpless in the face of what's coming. And so when we have this all-out assault from the spiritual world, we see demons manifesting the last year In fact, the Catholic Church said never in the history of their church have they seen such a request for, right. you know, these, well, we, they call them something different, but of course these priests to go and it's like right out of the book of, that Linda Blair movie, The Exorcist.
Right, right.
So it's vitally important. And here's the kicker, Derek. This is the vital, if anything people get from this show we do, I want them to remember this. It's vitally important for us to know the difference between prayer and warfare. Two different things.
Hmm.
Prayer is when you're addressing God. Warfare is when you're addressing the enemy. That's the part that's being left out. You cannot leave that part out where you're addressing the enemy. And that's the piece, Derek. It was one time I was driving along in my car and everything was falling apart in my life and I was crying out to God and shaking my fist at God and I was so frustrated. You know, I was getting just, the devil was mopping the floor with me and I said, why aren't you doing something about this, God? And all of a sudden in my spirit, I heard, why aren't you? And I said, huh? I stopped my temper tantrum. He said, why are you coming to me with this? Did I say that I would move your mountain? I've given you the rod of authority. What does it say? So I looked up some scriptures, found Exodus 14, found the part about, did God say he would move our mountain or did he say we would move our mountain with that authority? We have been given the rod of authority, but we're not exercising it. Our power, our dominion, our inheritance. Derek, if I told you you had an inheritance, boy, you'd be down at the lawyer in a heartbeat. I know I would.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we living so far beneath our privilege, what Jesus died to give us? And that, you know, Acts 20:32 says, an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. We have an inheritance, and yet we're sadly missing the boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that inheritance is coming our way, and there will be a day when we will judge angels, according to the Apostle Paul. And that is, I think, why so many of the fallen are really, really upset, because here we are, you know, glorified monkeys in their eyes, someday to have authority over them. We read in – there's a really odd scripture in a passage in the book of Jude where – there's an encounter between the Archangel Michael and Satan. We're not told anything about this in the Old Testament, but apparently the two of them contended for the body of Moses after the prophet passed away. And Michael, it says, did not dare to blaspheme, but just said, the Lord rebuke you. Did not dare to blaspheme Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke you. There's another odd passage in 2 Peter that talks about people who'd come into the church speaking blasphemy against the glorious ones. And again, we're still not, at least I'm not quite sure who the glorious ones are. I assume supernatural beings, perhaps angels of a certain class or rank. What does that tell us about our status and power relative to those of the angelic realm? And again, how do we employ this power that's been given to us, or the authority given to us through Jesus Christ, when we engage in this prayerful warfare against these evil entities?
Well, that's a great question. And we see in Hebrews 1:14 there that we can essentially, and I'm paraphrasing this, send out the warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments the enemy has for us. And the enemy, what is his modus operandi? It's to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's not a little cutesy phrase. Think about that. Kill, steal, and destroy. And
right.
What is the devil doing, Derek? He's mopping the floor with many Christians. The world's in a mess. There's attacks and bondage, attacks on finance. People's marriages are crumbling. But we have been given victory. And that's, again, not some little cliche. We've been given power and authority over all the power of the enemy. And so we, just like we see in Luke 11:4, deliver us from evil.
Mm-hmm.
We can actually send out the warring angels to completely scramble whatever daily assignments Satan has for us. And we show people in the book. In fact, I don't get out of bed before I do my morning warfare prayer. I find it really helpful to address the enemy before we even start our day. When we make phone calls, when we eat. I mean, who's really praying over their food anymore? We ought to be binding the mm-hmm. Frankenfoods and the GMO speak neutralization to the stuff that's in our food, because every day we see every report of recalls on foods. We just a simple prayer. Father, we bless this food in Jesus' name. Blessing means obviously covering the gambit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you never really see anybody doing that We ought to be binding every evil spirit, even from those in the kingdom of light, because guess what? There is charismatic witchcraft. There's witchcraft that's being sent against us, you know, especially us in front lines of ministry. Derek, you probably have 20 witch covens working against Skywatch. So we ought to be binding and breaking the power of the spirit of the witch, the wizard, these warlocks, these witch doctors. You talked about doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many of the world has hopped up on pharmakia? That word in the Greek means sorcery,
right,
witchcraft.
Right.
It's like, I laughingly said this on a show. You know, we used to call them witch doctors and we just dropped the witch off. But pharmakia is where we get the word pharmacy. These drug corporations, as you know, they're, well, especially Sharon would know this in her background. But I mean, the CDC is running around every day saying, oh, if it's not cow flu, bird flu, avian flu, mosquito flu, good Lord. So these drug corps are pushing out trillions of dollars to keep everyone zombified. And yes, doctors can be a blessing, but these torments, I believe, Derek, they're spiritual. I don't even think, in fact, I deal with one of these in the prayer, mental torment. I personally, and I know I'm going to get some flack from this, I don't believe there's anything such as schizophrenia or bipolar. I was a chartered psychologist. That was my training. I started off my career as a therapist for government, and then, of course, went to other departments and ended up in economic development and then environment of all places. But people are, they're anxious, they're fearful, they're frustrated. Why are Christians putting up with this, Derek? In Texas, there's a saying, you know, with their guns, you mentioned guns in the beginning, this gun grab is ubiquitous, but Texans say, you just come and take them. Come try it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? But that's the thing. We wouldn't let some guy break in our house, steal our gun, kick our door and steal our couch and our stereo and grab our kids. No. Well, why are we putting up with this in the spiritual? So back to the gun grabbing. And by the way, side note, ask Mao Zedong, Hitler and Stalin if gun control works.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is they have the Texans. Well, and you're a part of the neck of the woods, Missouri. They have boldness when it comes to their weapons. Yet why, if we have weapons that are not carnal, why are we having this passive attitude? We should boldly have the attitude towards the devil. You just come and try it. We should beat him down with the blood of Jesus every single day, and we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do we employ that then? I think there may be some, and I want to file a mental bookmark about your comment there, charismatic witchcraft, and we'll come back to that. Made a note on my pad here. How do we focus then that authority of Jesus Christ, the victory that he won on the cross through his death and then resurrection, you know, his emergence from the tomb 3 days later. How do we focus that power? How do we employ that in our prayers?
Well, I give an example, very first prayer right in the book. In fact, I don't get out of bed before I do my warfare prayer. I've learned every single day we're in this battle. So I, for example, I'll tell your listeners, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for giving me power over all the power of the enemy. I exercise that now, and then I get into it. I bind and break certain powers and the spirit of the witch, the warlocks, these astral projecting spirits. That sounds crazy to people, but again, we got to bind these spirits of charismatic witchcraft. We'll get into that. And in the name of Jesus, we have the power and authority to break off every word or spoken curse, even being spoken against our ministries, our spouses, ourselves. We can again send out the warring angels to scramble and cancel the assignments. We can sever that silver cord. Derek, there are astral projection, aka demonic practices of leaving the body. There are witches that are coming against us, and that is not some little thing. They put death curses and curses against us. So we can say, Satan, I bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless over my life, my church, my ministry, my family members. And I assign mighty angels to stand shoulder to shoulder around my children, my ministry, so no evil can penetrate. Those are the kind of powerful Bible-based prayers, a compendium we put in this book. And I've heard people pray. I've heard people pray. And they say, Sheila, can you pray over me? And I'll pray. And they go, that's beautiful. Do you have that written down? I'm like, yeah. No, I'm praying from my heart.
Yeah. So again, it's not a formula. It's not a ritual. It is not a spell.
That's good. It's not a spell. And Jesus said, again, and people go, well, do I got to pray this every day? And I say, well, Jesus said, we're not promised tomorrow. Give us our daily bread. I don't miss some of these prayers. I pray over my food daily. I get up and do my, like I said, I don't get out of bed anymore without doing my warfare prayer. And I had, actually, Carla and I both had, we could write a book actually on this book coming out. We had so many attacks. The very first day that Amazon released this book, Derek, the, it said it wasn't available. It said it was shipping 6 months later. There, we could write a book on getting this book out. In fact, the very first savings when it did come out, it said $6.66. That's like, I could just write a book on that.
Coincidence? But, you
know, yeah. Coincidence or not, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's just that we are not being taught how to exercise that rod of authority that we have. And by the way, I sound like a broken record, but we're not promised tomorrow. The word says again that, and Jesus said, take no worry for, you know, what's going to happen. So why are we worrying about, oh, my 401k, what's my pension looking like? What's the global economy looking like? We're not of this world. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, what's the worst that can happen? We die and go home to be with Jesus.
Right.
I think we're like all dead men walking anyway. So I just don't even worry. I mean, and people think, oh, you live day to day and you just live by faith and you're a kook. But I mean, this is what the apostles gave us, the book of Acts. These are Acts of the apostles. They're like a hand manual for Christian living. And we're not doing any of it. And that's what's heartbreaking to me, Derek. And that's actually what really motivated me to write this book, that, again, people don't know how to pray. They don't know how to exercise their authority. And they don't really understand that spiritual component. Again, I'm going to say this, warfare that works. We're in a spiritual battle. And I think, Derek, if we could see in the spiritual realm, yikes.
Mm. And scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. So, you know, there is a command there to do this on a daily basis. So if you're wondering, you know, this is not something you just do one time and then you're good for the rest of your life. It doesn't make any sense to me why we would not want to avail ourselves of, you know, contact with the throne room of God, you know, through prayer as often as possible. Especially we as men should be the sheepdog of the family, the spiritual heads of our household. This should be, you know, at the top of our priority list. Charismatic witchcraft, and this may be opening a can of worms here, but we'll do that anyway and see what pops out. What do you mean by that phrase?
Well, again, there's a lot of things going on in the church that looks like it's seemingly very benevolent. You know, you have situations, and I've had videos sent to me, and I just shake my head. You have the Kundalini spirit,
right?
Rampant. You have yoga classes in church nowadays.
Oh.
Let me tell you something right now, folks. This is my opinion, so don't get mad at Derek. Yoga is straight out of the pit of hell. It is Eastern mysticism. It is essentially, when you're doing the downward dog, looks benevolent enough, but you're actually doing poses to various gods. And I get into that in my Kundalini. Actually, I have a prayer in the book praying against Kundalini. We have to break those spirits that came in when we opened the door to, you know, whatever side pose, crow pose, all these poses. You actually can break those off you. I believe that we open demonic doorways, and that gives Satan permission to, you know, these demonic entities to wreak havoc in our life. Derek, I'm getting emails on people being held down by demons at night. Sound kooky? No, this is happening with a dentist, a high level military. I mean, I'm getting contacted by legitimate people, not just some tinfoil hat kooks.
Productive members of society.
Productive members. And they are saying, Sheila, I'm getting mopped up at night. I feel like I can't breathe. I feel like I have an elephant sitting on my chest. We've got incubus, succubus. Lucy Liu talked about in the headlines, some of these stars are helly weird, as I call them. These stars are talking about these encounters with demons. Lucy Liu said it was the best, pardon the phrase, sex she's ever had in her life. Steve Quayle talks about that in his book, I believe, Little Creatures, talks about incubus, succubus. So you've got these demonic entities attacking people. You've got these, again, raising the Kundalini. You got people flip-flopping around in churches, barking like dogs, hissing like snakes. You got all this mysticism and good Lord, serpent spirits. And, you know, you got the meditations going on in the churches are trying to raise those chakras, the waypoints located along the spine. Listen, folks, that third eye, you don't want to be opening that. We are not supposed to be doing Eastern meditation and chanting and self-hypnotic routines. That is a wide open doorway to demonic kundalini spirits, Derek. So the point is that all this stuff, you know, it's seemingly benevolent, but all these doctrines of devils and seducing spirits are creeping into the church. And I believe when somebody is like these fire things, you've got grave sucking, all of that is charismatic witchcraft.
Hmm. There, and I would suggest too that the Word of Faith movement, which takes the power of prayer to another level, by claiming that we have the power to essentially compel God to do whatever we ask.
Well, it's funny. I am a Word Faith person. I have faith in the Word, but these guys have totally twisted, you know, and sadly, a lot of Kenneth E. Hagin, sort of the father of that movement, he had a lot of great material. And sadly, some people did twist his stuff. He had a really good book called The Midas Touch, but a lot of it is total subtlety. And I'm going to tell your listeners something, and this is actually something Carla Butod told me one time, and I never forgot this. And this is so relevant to today because there's so much good. And yet it's like, do we throw the baby out with the bathwater? Because sometimes they do say things. I never forget last year, Copeland says, this is Kenneth Copeland. He said, we can't hear God in coach. And I did a double take. He said, you know, that's why they got to buy these fancy planes.
Airplanes. Yeah.
And Creflo Dollar Bill there was out there running around. He said, oh, I can't have anything under than a $100 million jet. Are you kidding me, Derek? You know, these guys in the New Testament, they turned the world upside down. They didn't have stately buildings and bags of cash and, you know, just filthy lucre. But the point is, Carla said this to me. She said, Sheila, if I gave you this glass of water and I put one little drop of poison, would you drink it? I said, no. She said, why not? It's 99% good.
Right, right.
That's what's happening. We're getting permeated with these little subtleties. The Word tells us even the very elect to be deceived. So, you know, that is a very interesting thing that we have discernment because the Word is a discerner. So if we're in our Word and we are exercising our authority and we're praying and we're, of course, fasting goes along with that, Derek, then we can discern these times. We've got to be very careful with these subtleties. I'll tell you what, Satan is a master of subtleness and craftiness.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to ask the question, because it seems to me that any effective ministry is going to be a target for Satan and his minions to try to pervert the message. And of course, the most effective deception will be one that starts with a core of truth. So you can start with the truth and then just take it just a degree or so off course. And soon you'll find yourself off that straight and narrow and onto the wide path that the whole world is happy to follow. And of course, that's the road that leads straight to the gates of hell. Paul himself wrote that he prayed three times for God to remove a thorn from his flesh. We don't know what that was specifically, if that was a physical ailment or if that was somebody who was hindering his ministry, but God declined to remove that thorn from his flesh. And certainly it wasn't because Paul didn't know how to pray or didn't have enough faith or let Satan steal his joy. It was because God said, this is something you need as a reminder that my grace is sufficient for you. Maybe Paul was prone to an intellectual arrogance, which people of high intelligence are sometimes guilty of. You can't see this, but I'm raising my hand. And so we need to be reminded from time to time, hey, your source of authority is me. It is not you. It is me. And, you know, so, and it's, I can see where having had a taste of celebrity in my younger days when I was on the radio and jumped from Peoria to Philadelphia, which is like the fourth largest radio market in the country, how easy it would be for the draw of wealth and public adulation to pull you away from what you ought to be doing. And of course, I was walking a different path at that time in my life, but even then there was something in the back of my mind, or perhaps I should say in the back of my spirit, saying, this isn't really where you ought to be. And praise God that he's patient, because it took me a while to wake up and realize what was going on. Let me ask you this. What are some of the more common attacks, ways that we Christians will be deceived or distracted by the enemy from engaging in effective prayer warfare?
Well, yeah, and boy, you said a lot. I could take that so many tributaries. I guess here's the thing. I think some of the subtle things that are coming at us, you have the Mandela effect that hit us a few months ago. Oh my gosh, the King James Bible's been changed. Distraction, bingo, you nailed it. So, you know, and so while we've got this distraction and diversion and all this other stuff going on, I think the enemy is trying to get us so, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of people say, this is a common thing I get, Derek, you know, Sheila, what can you suggest as a minister to help me overcome the fact that I go to read my Bible, my phone rings, my alarm goes off, my house is on fire. It's like the devil is so busy trying to distract people, Derek, with whatever headlines. And by the way, you said something very profound at the beginning. Our answer is not in Washington, D.C. Is God doing something, I believe, with Trump? Yes. But again, we are not to put our trust in the arm of the flesh. No man, we are to covet, you know, no man's rule and reign. It's about Jesus Christ. And again, that's not a little cutesy phrase. You know, Derek, we sing all these cutesy little songs in church, and it grieves my heart because one time I was listening to people in church, like, I went in the enemy camp and I took back what the enemy stole. And I was like, wait a minute, who's even doing this? Who's actually going into the enemy's camp and kicking butt and taking names, Derek? No, we are getting our butts kicked by the enemy. Right. You asked, what are some of the ways? Well, I know a lot of people are physically under attack, a lot of ministries. I know finances can be attacked. We actually talk about this, and this is really important because there's a lot of religious spirits out there, Derek. It's like, for example, when my book came out, they said, well, you're giving it away free, right? Because freely we give, freely receive. Give me a break.
We get that a lot too, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. And so I did actually a whole show on that topic. But here's the thing. There's religious spirits. We don't mind if Lady Gag Me makes, you know, $40 billion a year, but God help if a pastor was, you know, actually able to drive a car that wasn't leaking exhaust, right?
Yeah.
So we have this really screwed up vision, this really, it's a very distorted perception on things. And it really shows you where our priorities are, but it's who's subduing and ruling and reigning and taking authority over these spirits? What are we even doing that in, Derek? What are we subduing? We see Harry Potter on the big screen, and of course, J.K. Rowling and her little cast of characters is netted a $15 billion brand. But the thing is, it's okay for our kids to be inundated with how to cast spells. And Disney, I just did a show called Gods in Spandex, The Secret History of Superheroes, these replacement gods in spandex. Yeah. The kids love Marvel. They love DC, but it's steeped in the occult. And that's the thing. And, you know, a lot of people are getting, of course, generational curses, open doors, the enemy can come in and afflict people. So if you are going through, I mean, even marriage breaking spirits, there's so much going on. The family is under attack. The, you know, I mean, look around, transgendered, transmutation, transhumanism. I mean,
oh, yeah. The National Geographic cover for January with a 9-year-old transgender, in air quotes, boy thinks he's a girl.
I just saw a cover girl where I had to do a double take. There's a young man on a CoverGirl magazine. Like, what in the world have we allowed?
Yeah.
And you know, people say, well, they say to me all the time, like, Sheila, I don't believe in curses. And I say, well, would you call it a blessing? And so we do have generational curses that we come in with a boatload of them. And people say, well, no, we don't. It's under the blood. Just because we're born again, Derek, does not mean we stop aging. Just because Adam and Eve, the scenario in the garden, we have to appropriate what Jesus did, and we have to break generational curses. It can go back 10 generations back, the Bible tells us. Mm. They can actually go back to Adam and Eve. So, you know, doctors hand you a clipboard when you're sick and say, hey, you got anything going on in your generational line, your lineage? They know there's curses, infirmities, afflictions. My grandpa had cancer. My dad had cancer. These are generational curses. And we talk about how to break that in the book as well. We talk about, you know, there's a prayer. There's 40 prayers in this book, Derek, and I think it is a very must-have compendium for these end times.
Mm. Generational curses is something, and again, I've said this many times before, I come from a liturgical denomination where the working of the Holy Spirit in today's world, in our lives, was never really part of the Sunday morning teachings or Sunday school. It just wasn't. Jesus was a life coach, you know. Emulate him and you'll be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know, not quite that way, but, you know, that's what it boiled down to. You know, God is just sort of letting things wind out until he decides to come back. But people that I know and respect, people who are productive members of society, who have told me about things in their lives that they couldn't explain, things that were going wrong. They just couldn't seem to get rid of certain bad behavioral patterns or whatever. And so they began investigating and finding out that, you know, grandpa was involved in something dark and great grandpa was involved in this. And there were suspicions that he was doing, you know, things like that. I want to get too specific and, you know, identify anybody, but people that I know, respect, I've heard it too often from people who are otherwise rational, intelligent, productive people to dismiss all of this. What is it about generational curses? How do they manifest in our lives? What kind of permissions do they give to the enemy? And then how do we break those?
Okay, well, I really want to address this because you're asking a really important question. And I think that is a question a lot of people have. And again, blessings are, of course, desirable or beneficial things that God grants us. Curses, Derek, are the opposite. That brings punishment and painful conditions and experiences. And again, you know, before each of us, God has set either blessings or cursing. Go read Deuteronomy 11:26. So generational curses are demonic afflictions, essentially, that are passed down our bloodline. In other words, generationally inherited. If they're not broken in the name of Jesus, well, then guess what? They're going to continue to transfer to our kids from one generation to the next, causing these similar issues in our families. And we have a prayer. And in fact, ironically, I have a prayer against generational curses. It's actually, there's some deliverance prayers in the back of the book. We actually break that down into just prayers over general things like prayer over travel, your food, things like that. But also, we get into these generational curses, and there's actually a curse of the bastard. It's a powerful curse. And it sounds like, what, Sheila, did you just say? I said, curse of the bastard. And it's a powerful curse that plagues almost, I think, almost every believer with very few exceptions. I had it. And I couldn't get anything going in my 20s. I lost my house. I lost my marriage. I lost every job I had. And I had all these more degrees than a thermometer. And I couldn't get anything going. And I thought, and my mother became a quadriplegic. My brother was a paraplegic. He died in a freak accident with pharmakia. He took some medication. My mom was given a vaccination and became a quadriplegic. Every person in both sides of the family had just bizarre freak accidents. My uncle was a fisherman, died in a tragic fishing accident. My one uncle was a rock climber, died in a mountain climb. I mean, it was just a tree fell on my logger uncle. It was just like, what? I mean, wait a minute. If that isn't a curse, I don't know what is. And I came across a teaching by Win Worley years ago, and I broke that off, Derek. And I'll tell you what, never been the same since. And so there's, when I said before about, you know, it actually says in the word, you can look Deuteronomy 23 up. It talks about, you know, a person begotten out of wedlock will not enter into the assembly of the Lord, even up to the 10th generation. Shall his descendants not enter into the congregation of the Lord? Mm. So 10 generations is a period of about 400 years.
That's a long
you
time.
You just touched on it. We don't know if Grandpa so-and-so was a Freemason. We could have witchcraft in our background. Mm-hmm. I mean, good Lord. I mean, it's just not automatic that when we become a Christian, Galatians 3:13 tells us Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. But it's not automatic. You have to appropriate that scripture. So that bastard curse is raging with people. And it's not just about, oh, my mom and dad were married out of wedlock. No, it's about a generationally inherited curse that involves. And so when you say, well, how do I know, Sheila, if I have that generational curse? Well, not only do I get into that in the book, but I also have a prayer how to break it off. And one big thing that is a common theme in that is this unloving spirit that brings in a feeling of rejection. You don't ever really feel like you fit in. You kind of don't really ever feel the love of God. You kind of just don't ever really feel the love and acceptance. It's almost like those people that think that God's mad at them all the time, and they feel like a black sheep sometimes. They feel like, you know, they just never fit in. They can't find a church. Mind you, I've been kicked out of 5 churches, so it's not always about, you know, it's not always about, I mean, sometimes your church, you just got to get out of there. But it's generally feeling dissatisfied and discontent in a lot of areas in your life. And you just, there's a lot of stuff going on there. I had every one of those things, Derek. And I'll tell you what, when that was broken off me, when I broke that, I did self-deliverance just based on a Win Worley prayer. And something just left in the spirit, Derek, and my life was changed. So I am very, very excited about this book because so many people are suffering and they don't even understand that it's based on something that has nothing to do with them, but it comes down the generational line.
Hmm. You mentioned the curse of the bastard, and people watching this on the video will have seen my eyebrows raise when you mentioned that, but scripturally, this is clearly something that is significant. And I was just doing some research here while you were talking and looked up the current rate, according to the CDC, of children born to unmarried women in the United States overall is
Bingo.
Right now it's about 40%. Among Hispanic women, it's over 53%. And among African-American women in the U.S., it's about 71%. Think about that and how that's going to affect future generations, where you've got more than half of the children born in certain segments of the population to unmarried women. Among Caucasian women in the United States, it's about 30%, so 1 out of every 3. But as this goes, and as society's attitude towards marriage changes what constitutes God's design for a family, the percentage of children born out of wedlock grows, although it has started to trend down in the last year or two, according to the CDC, which is a good sign, I suppose, but it makes you wonder if that's only because in certain places like New York City, most recent statistic I saw was for 2013, more than half of the unborn children in the African-American community in New York City will never live to see daylight. So,
well, that's a really good point, and it kind of touches on the spirit of death that we're under, I believe, in the West. I have a prayer against the spirit of death, which, by the way, Derek, includes abortion. And if you folks are listening out there, women and men, because you have to have a male partner too.
Right.
So if you've ever had an abortion or you've encouraged someone to seek an abortion, if you've driven someone to an abortion clinic, it is imperative that you break that spirit of death. Listen, the spirit of death came upon all of us through Adam and Eve. God told Adam and Eve in Genesis 2:17 not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that in that day they would eat of it, what was going to happen? They'd surely die. But we know they didn't drop dead on the spot there. But death entered into all mankind through the fall. So the word die, Derek, as you know this, it means a slow, gradual diminishing. When we got saved, the sin issue is dealt with, but death is not. After salvation, the power of the spirit of death needs to be broken and cast out. And again, this goes back to the butchering and the bloodshed. We have this debacle with Planned Parenthood. We have, I mean, now on WikiLeaks, we have Thelema and witchcraft and child. We won't even go there, Derek. It's just so insidious. You have the shedding of innocent blood, which ties into with this death curse. And so you've got all this stuff going on, and it all is spiritual. Mm. It brings a death sentence. And in fact, you know, a lot of these nursing homes and hospitals and all of this stuff, these abortion clinics, it results in fact, every Planned Parent, you have a spirit of Moloch on every street corner here, which brings a spirit of death. Yeah. And I believe, this is just me, that our entire nation right now is under a curse of death through the legalization of abortion. And so that is imperative for people to deal with that. And yes, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in his mercy, but he doesn't by any means clear the guilty, but he gives us the ability to deal with this. He's slow to anger. He's rich in his unfailing love, but you know, he's not going to put up with sin and rebellion. There is a cutoff to that mercy. He's not going to leave sin unpunished, and we're not repentant. Who talks about repentant in today's pulpit? No. Repentance, forget about it. You know, abortion's just what? Freedom of choice. We have all these abhorrent euphemisms now, Derek, for sin is just, you know, like I said, it's just, you know, freedom to do what you want to do. It's nothing to do with sin.
Right.
And so again, it's just people have to really be paying attention. And listen, if you have any illnesses in your body, if you've had the same reoccurring stuff, some of it's a spiritual attack, and I believe that it's an infirmity. Jesus dealt with the infirmity, and he commissioned us to, what are we commissioned to do? Deal with infirmities. Paul, I mean, everybody, they cast out the spirit of infirmity. I do believe that probably 90% of the illnesses, Derek, they're infirmities, they're spirits.
Hmm. Sheila, in the interest of keeping these podcasts to manageable lengths, I try to keep them to around 45-minute length. So without going too much farther and sharing so much that people don't feel inclined to get your book, I do want them to do that. But I'm just curious about the reaction that you've had so far. The book hasn't been out all that long. What prayers that you've included in the book, and again, remind me how many you've included, which of them seems to be getting the most response from people who've bought the book?
Well, actually, it's a good segue to powerprayers.ca. We actually put some testimonies. Mm-hmm. So started a website just to do that, because my exciting thing was the testimonies. That's what I was waiting for. And the morning warfare prayer, we're just getting a litany of people just saying, this is changing my life. A lot of people love our prayer for school children, especially with what's going on in America. The prayer against evil systems in America, people are like saying, wow, Sheila, it's amazing. The curse of the bastard, mm-hmm. again, that made you raise your eyebrows is actually ironically the one that's really, I mean, a prayer against the Antichrist spirit, the spirit of death. A lot of women that have had abortions are just saying, Sheila, I had no idea this is bringing. We have this one is really interesting too. A prayer concerning poverty and lack. Prayer for ministry finances, I put in the book, because ministries are under attack. And God gave Carla Butod an open vision about what's going on with our finances. And that will blow you away in the book too. You can actually break that curse of poverty and lack off you if you're going around the same mountain, or if it just seems like you're not getting anywhere financially. Not to say we need to be driving $100 million jets, Derek, but the point is that, of course, I deal at the back with like all these curses and these spirits, like the incubus and succubus, the kundalini spirits. I teach people how to bind and loose, which is one of the key things that we don't even have a clue how to bind and loose. It's very powerful. And the last thing is, do I have to know the name of a spirit to bind it or cast it out? That is, I'll tell you, this whole book, Derek, is really got people talking, and our testimonies page, I encourage people to check it out. Very powerful stuff indeed. Mm.
Again, the website is powerprayers.ca. Sheila Zielinski is the co-author of the book with Carla Butod. Again, prayer is just something that we don't do often enough, and I am guilty of that. I'm speaking to myself here as I say this, because it's not the way I was wired coming up. As a child, not the way I was taught in church from childhood, but the more I do in this realm, and the more I interface with people like Sheila, who are, like I said, intelligent, productive people who speak to the power of prayer and the power of interceding or calling on angels, rather, to intercede for us in the spiritual realm, the more I understand that this is what we should be doing. And men, as heads of our households, let's not leave this to the ladies. This is something that we need to be on our knees and doing. So Sheila, I thank you for getting in touch with me about your book and letting me know about this, because this is a subject that we don't talk about often enough, just prayer and the necessity to pray. It's easy for us to get caught up in the conspiracies and looking around at the political conspiracies and the government cover-ups and the secret societies and some of the sexier things, topics that we can bring to programs like this, forgetting that we have a weapon to deal with all of this, and we can call on the creator of the universe who spoke all things into existence. And yet we're going into battle with no bullets in the gun.
Can I just say, Derek, that is so profound, because we don't just shove a soldier out into battle without a weapon or without armor. And so, again, I just want to remind people that I get hundreds and thousands over the years of prayer and deliverance requests from believers all over the world who have a variety of afflictions. And I began to see there was a huge need for the development of this book. So I dedicate it to you. These prayers were developed, Derek, after being beat up and mopped around and robbed by the devil. And I spent years allowing the devil to wreak havoc and cause destruction because guess what? I didn't even know. I was unaware there was something I could do about it. These prayers were birthed out of hell coming to my front door. So Carl and I went through a lot of the same stuff. We only wish we had had these prayers a long time ago. I would have spent, you know, I wouldn't have spent, you know, 30 some years being just getting pummeled by the devil left, right and center. And we're getting the kitchen sink thrown at us. And, you know, you mentioned, and I'll just finish at this. You mentioned the men being the head of the household. There is a raging Jezebel spirit going on. And I find that's the number one issue with women. They have the Jezebel spirit. Ironically, I have that prayer too. But men have this Ahab spirit where, you know, men won't lead, women won't follow. You've got this feminism spirit out there. Listen, ladies, feminism is not about equal rights. Trust me, it's a very devilish antichrist spirit that, you know, God has an order and a purpose for the family. And I'll tell you what, we are far from that model, Derek. And it is time to get back to the way God designed things. And, you know, I just think this is a really important, timely book for people in 2017. If 2016 was any indication, we're in for some interesting times.
Yeah, amen to that. Sheila Zielinski, I should point out the 2015 winner of the Conspiria Award for Top Female Personality in Alternative Media. I had almost forgotten about this because I never
won the mail.
So, you know, people here are getting a 2-for-1 deal. The, you know, top alternative media personalities, male and female. So, you know, and we're not even charging for this. So how about that?
your wife is actually, I only came in, I think, by one other vote. Your wife was right up there. So it was neck and neck. But they're getting a 2-for-1, Derek. Indeed.
All right. Sheila, thanks for taking time out of your schedule. We appreciate it. And again, we'll direct people to the website for the book, but also weekendvigilante.com. Weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern time. Sheila, great to talk with you again.
Derek, will you just add that we also have a prayer night Wednesday on Power Prayers. They can join us in prayer. We're not just talking about it. We're doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 9 Eastern time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central every Wednesday. I'm on that call as well.
Okay, and is that also through weekendvigilante.com or where would people go for that?
Just go to powerprayers.com. It says join us in prayer.
All right, very good. Sheila Zielinski, thanks again.
Thank you, Derek, and God bless you and what you guys are doing.
Check the show notes below the video at youtube.com/Derek Gilbert. Or if you're listening through the podcast, check the show notes at vftb.net for a link to Sheila's website for the Weekend Vigilante Show. And also the website for the book will be there as well. Power Prayers, Warfare That Works. Sheila, always fun to talk to because she's not afraid to speak her mind. So, and we could use more of that in this day of squeamish Christianity. And we're probably going to need it in the days ahead. What can I say as I record this on Sunday, January 22nd of 2017? We are 48 hours into the Donald Trump presidency and America hasn't collapsed yet. Europe is quaking in fear. The commentators who are already trying to analyze his presidency without him spending a full work day in office are, they've got to fill a 24-hour news cycle somehow, I suppose. Wishful thinking on the part of those who are declaring his presidency a disaster already. The tragedy of the weekend, and I'm going to hold most of my comments for tomorrow on Skywatch TV because, frankly, I'm just a little sick of the coverage at the moment. But the tragedy of the weekend, I think, was seeing the images of upwards of 1 million women, if you can believe the numbers, combining all the places where they marched, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C. especially, and realizing that most of them don't know what they're doing, frankly. I mean, I don't mean to condescend, but the co-organizer, okay, the co-chair of the Women's March on Washington is the director of the of a pro-Islamic foundation in New York who has openly tweeted about her desire to establish Islamic Sharia law as the law of the land. Just sending out cute little tweets like, hey, if you're paying interest on your credit cards and car loans, it's only because Sharia hasn't been implemented in America yet. Hashtag, I'm just saying. Well, you know, and I think this is the image that really speaks volumes. The artist who created that Barack Obama hope poster in 2009, Shepard Fairey, you know, the one that looks like a stencil almost, created the official art for the March on Washington. And it's a woman wearing a hijab. That's the Islamic headscarf. But the headscarf is made from the American flag, the flag of the United States. Now, I think that making clothing that incorporates the flag is borderline disrespectful, depending on how it's used. I mean, I've had clothing before that incorporated, you know, stars and stripes in it. So I'm kind of on the fence on that one, but I'm sorry, the hijab from the American flag, that really is the goal of this organization. You know, women who were pro-life. And again, remember, this was a march that was supposed to be for women by women, but women who expressed a pro-life view were basically told, don't bother showing up. In fact, there's some stories that have popped out in New York Times, Washington Post, elsewhere, typically progressive media, that said, you know, this march in Washington really has exposed some divisions within the progressive women's movement. Women who were not of color or who were not Islamic were also made to feel less than welcome. So when, and a credit to the New York Times for running this story, but a woman who described herself as a feminist Muslim, which I think is a, it's a contradiction in terms, but anyway, dug into the funding of the groups that were behind this march in Washington and found that more than 50 of these groups had financial ties to George Soros. So it wasn't exactly grassroots, but we can't lay all of this at George Soros. If we Christians understand the spiritual realm of which we only see a part, and if we understand that the Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about when he said that we wrestle not against human opponents, but against principalities, powers, rulers of spiritual darkness, the blame has to be placed on them. Now, humans bear some culpability insofar as they understand what they're doing. But I think a lot of these women who were marching out there for freedom and to protest Donald Trump, the groper in chief, which again is ironic considering we had 8 years of Bill Clinton, don't understand that some of the money that went into organizing this march and the political aims of the co-chair of this march is to implement Islamic law, to bring Sharia to the United States. And so you've got this poster by the guy who created the famous Yes We Can poster, the Hope poster, you know, for the Yes We Can campaign of Barack Obama. And the caption in this poster should have been No You Can't, because that's how women are treated under Sharia. You want to do whatever you like with your body? No, you can't. You want to speak your mind in public? No, you can't. Do you want to walk side by side with your husband? No, you can't. You want to show your face? You want to wear a bikini? No, you can't. The irony is incredible, off the charts. But it's tragic because most of the women who are out there protesting and shouting, yelling, have no idea what they're walking into. It's one thing to watch somebody engaging in self-destructive behavior. Drink, drugs, gambling, whatever. It's another to watch 500,000 women walking into self-destructive behavior with potentially eternal consequences. So, we'll talk more about that. Well, probably not this long, because I try to keep the Skywatch TV updates relatively compact so you can, you know, watch them without having to give up a big chunk of your time. But anyway, that's what's on my mind as we go to Sunday evening here in the Heart of the Ozarks. Coming up on A View from the Bunker, Pastor Paul Begley, one of the speakers at the Hear the Watchman Conference 2017, coming up the end of March, beginning of April, March 31st through April 2nd at the Hilton DFW Lakes Conference Center. That's Grapevine, Texas, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metro. Pastor Paul Begley talked for about an hour. First time we'd had a chance to talk, and enjoyed the conversation. I think you will as well. Coming up February 5th, Preston Condra. He is a gentleman with the Watchman Fellowship, which is an apologetics ministry, and frankly, all of us Christians need to know more about apologetics. He and his wife Kelly have written a new book, By Which We Are Saved, which actually is a guidebook for us and how we can share the gospel with people around us. Many Christians, self-included for a long time, didn't feel competent to give a reason to others for the hope that I had in Christ Jesus, even though that's a biblical command. So, I think that should be a good discussion. Looking forward to seeing Preston again. He's actually going to drive up from Arkansas, I think, and we'll sit down face-to-face to have that conversation. Then the organizers of the Hear the Watchman Conference, God's Great Gathering, the G3 Intelligence Briefing, Mike Kerr and Jeannie Moore. They're going to be in Missouri, coming here for Josh Talley's wedding, and they'll stop by our place. So we'll get them on Skywatch TV and grab them for a View from the Bunker interview. That will be posted February the 12th. And then February 19th, Dr. Michael Heiser returns to A View from the Bunker. He and I sat down. It's audio only on that one. Both of us had been through about 3.5 hours of video by that point, and so both of us just sat down in front of the mics and left the cameras off, talking about his forthcoming book, Reversing Herman. Now, we've done a program on this already, but the manuscript is done. It's being typeset as I speak, and his book, I am honored to say, is being offered at the same time as my new book. In fact, they're being offered as a package from Defender Publishing through Skywatch TV. My new book, The Great Inception, Satan's Psyops from Eden to Armageddon, which builds on his work, The Unseen Realm. So the two books coming out at the same time, 4 weeks of interviews on Skywatch TV about the two books, and we discuss Reversing Herman for an hour. You'll hear that on February 19th. The Hear the Watchman Conference. This weekend, a special offer going on. If you have not yet watched Sci Friday, which is the weekly program on science news through a biblical lens that Sharon and I record, produce for Skywatch TV, you really should, because in that program, we give you a special promo code that will save $40, more than $40, off the registration at the Hear the Watchman Conference. I will repeat that. There is a promo code that we give you during the most recent issue edition of Sci Friday that saves you more than $40 on the registration for Hear the Watchman. Now, it's toward the end of the program. If you don't have a full 28 minutes and 30 seconds to spend watching the program, you know, click on it. I'll put a link to the YouTube file in the show notes. You can skip to the last 5 minutes or so to get that information. Yeah, we'd like you to watch the whole show, but I understand. We got busy schedules. The key thing, again, that through 9 p.m. Eastern Time Monday, January 23rd, through 9 p.m. Eastern Time Monday, the promo code will save you more than $40. Instead of $119, it'll be $77.70. $77.70, but you got to act quickly because it's only through Monday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. And that's the promo code embedded in the most recent Sci Friday. Coming up at Hear the Watchman, besides me, Sharon, Josh Peck, and Jake Rahutsky from Skywatch TV, L.A. Marzulli, Russ Dizdar, Dr. Michael Lake, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor Paul Begley, as I mentioned, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, John B. Wells, Josh Talley, many others. Don't miss it, Pastor Casper McLeod. We're looking forward to seeing him again. March 31st through April 2nd at the DFW Lakes Conference Center. That is a Hilton hotel. And do yourself a favor, rather than trying to find a hotel and then have to rent a car and get back and forth in Dallas, take advantage of the deal at the website hearthewatchman.com. There's a link there that says book your room. And you click that. It'll take you to the Hilton website. Tell them you're attending the conference, the Hear the Watchman conference. You get the special room rate of $99. Sounds like a lot for a hotel room, but trust me, in Dallas, it's not, especially for a nice hotel like the Hilton. So hopefully we will see you there. We had a couple of really good sessions for our Bible study this morning, Sunday. The Gilbert House Fellowship. Every week, if you're new to this program, every week Sharon and I record an hour's worth of study verse-by-verse exegesis to the best of our ability on the Old Testament and the New Testament, going through the Bible in chronological order. We did the book of 1 Peter, the epistle of 1 Peter this morning. There is more stuff in there than I ever remember. Now, and I've read through the Bible a couple of times. So I've read through 1 Peter, but I had forgotten a lot of that stuff. Stuff that's not necessarily easy to hear, like submitting to human institutions like government, wives submitting to husbands. That's not politically correct. Husbands honoring your wife so that your prayers are not impeded or hindered. Yeah, that's in there. And even a reference to the watchers, Genesis 6, the Nephilim. Yeah, that's in there too. That's the New Testament study. The Old Testament study, we're into the historical books. Kings and Chronicles talked about the divided kingdom, the generations following the death of Solomon. Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Asa, Baasha, etc. Haven't quite gotten to King Ahab yet. That'll be next week. But it's great stuff. Not what we do. The Bible. The Bible. That's the great stuff. You'll find the archives going back to Genesis 1-1 at gilberthouse.org. We post new studies every Sunday at usually by midday, gilberthouse.org. Appreciate your reviews at iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever else fine podcasts are sold. And, of course, we discuss the issues raised here at our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/viewfromthebunker, which is a production of Gilbert House and released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. The opening theme is by Kevin MacLeod. His website, incompetech.com. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is A View from the Bunker.